Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast, presented by Stamps.com. Avoid trips to the post office. It's late December, mid-December, late December. It's Christmas time. The post office, normally crowded with old people, is now full of old people and people trying to mail presents. It's a disaster. Don't go to the post office. Use Stamps.com instead to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer. Think about it. You just print it and right from your computer. You put it in the mailbox and mail it. 4-week trial, $110 bonus offer. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in the promo code FFT. Hey, everybody, Will Brinson here, the Roughing the Passer podcast. Nick Costas joining me again because it's a Thursday-Friday pick show. We record on Thursday. We post on Friday. Very excited for Week 15 action. I don't even really remember how I did on my best bets. I think it was either 3-2 or 2-3.
I went 2-3.
You went 2-3?
I went 2-3. You know what I blame for it? The post office. I blame the post office. It's the post office fault because you got all those people there that are mailing out their packages. They're asking stupid questions when they get up there. I hate those people. So you know what I'm going to do instead, Will? I'm going to go to stamps.com. And as a result, I will have a better week picking games.
You certainly will. Okay, so before we get started into these games, I have some podcast. I need to tell you about my flight into Florida this morning.
Yes, and just, you know, to peel back the curtain a little bit, we were going to have this conversation about an hour earlier.
Yeah.
You said, nope, we're going to save it, saving it for the podcast.
It's better if it's organic.
So this is the first I'm hearing of the story.
Flat out, I wanted,
there was no dress rehearsal.
I wanted your reaction during the podcast live. Okay, so. And I'm kind of I kind of want to gauge. So we lead different. We have the same basic life in that we talk about football for a living. And we're on this podcast. You're single. You live in Florida.
Yes.
I'm married. I live in North Carolina.
Yes.
I have a small child. So slightly different lives in that sense.
Or vastly different.
Or vastly different. Right. Or completely.
But I feel like we're very similar people.
So, no, covering the same cloth. Yeah. But I'm just curious what your reaction in this scenario would be.
Okay.
And your general reaction to traveling. Vis-a-vis what I experienced this morning.
Usage of vis-a-vis.
Right. So I
very underutilized phrase.
So I fly down to Florida every week. I fly Delta enough that I usually get bumped up to first class.
Whoa. Yeah. First class Brinson.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, you're damn right you do.
Yeah, right.
Wearing those penny loafers, you better be in first class.
You gotta be showing off. So
now does your butler also get to sit in first class, or we put him in coach?
No, we put him in coach. He rides coach.
Sorry, Wadsworth.
Yeah, Wadsworth. Get your ass in the back. So I get bumped up to first class, and you know, in first class you get free drinks, right? Well, that doesn't do a whole lot of good when you're flying to your office on a Thursday morning at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I get through security and I get onto the plane and I walk in and there's a young lady, I'm gonna say like mid-30s maybe, sitting in my seat.
In your seat.
In my seat.
In first class.
In first class.
How dare she?
How dare she? And I say
the temerity.
I say, hey, I think you're in 2D, that's my seat. She's like, oh, I'm in 2C. Do you just want to trade? And I was like, I want my own seat. I want my window seat.
Yes.
Like, and she's like, oh, okay. So I sit down and she starts talking. She's like, so, you know, like, where are you, you know, doing the pre-chat thing? I'm not a big talker on the airplane, Nick.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk. I like to put on my headphones and get down to business and do some work, manage my time efficiently. She starts talking. She's asking me these questions. The stewardess comes over and says, do you guys want anything to drink before flight? I'm like, I'll take a black coffee. Or coffee black, please. She's like, okay.
The girl, I also drink my coffee black.
Yeah, right. Yeah. See, same cloth.
Yes.
The girl says, I would like a Bloody Mary, but I don't want it mixed. I want them separate.
What?
Right. So she wants the airplane bottle of vodka and she wants the tomato juice. It's weird. I don't understand it either.
I hate this woman.
Right.
I think I despise her.
I'm in the same spot. Yeah. So then the lady, the stewardess comes out and brings her the airplane bottle. And this is 9:25 in the morning.
Okay.
She turns the bottle up and shoots it.
No way.
Yes. 9:25 in the morning. And I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
That's disgusting, right?
I mean, mortifying.
Right. Mortifying. So she does that. And I'm like, oh, my God. And there's a break in the conversation at some point. And I put on my headphones.
Like, you seize the moment.
Yeah. I'm trying to check out.
That was your chance.
Yeah,
you have to take the opportunity when you get it.
Yeah. Because she looks at me and she goes, I was like, black coffee. She's like, I'm going the other way.
And I was like, well, good. I didn't ask. So thank you for telling me.
Right. But so I'm like, oh, my God, this is the potential for a disastrous
nightmare
fight. Two-hour flight of talking with her. She's going to get lit up.
Yeah.
So I go headphones. I go headphones and I'm trying to check out. Over the course of this two-hour flight, she's tapping me on like the thing.
And no way.
Yes. She's being like, hey, do you have like internet? And I'm not going to lie. Like, I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
I hope she does. I hate you if you're listening.
She's not like the world's most attractive girl. I mean, okay, a little.
Say what you want to say, Will.
She's not that attractive. I wasn't, you know, I'm not trying to. But over the course of the fight, she takes She gets five drinks.
Good God.
Between 9:50, this is her second flight of the day. Right. She gets five drinks, and she's shooting them all. And I see at one point she's got a Bombay Sapphire, like, airplane bottle. She's shooting that. And she's, like, getting mixers, and she's drinking the mixers, like, in between shooting the shots.
Is she aware of, like the actual proper way to do this or no?
I guess, but, I mean, like, she's just firing them back. And she keeps trying to talk to me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, you know.
So she sloshed?
She's pretty sloshed. Okay. She gets up at one point and goes to the bathroom.
Yes.
And she didn't come back for 30 minutes. And I'm thinking, she's got to be passed out in the bathroom or you know, maybe she had a big breakfast and it, you know, kicked in or something like that.
These things tend to happen.
I'm like, I'm not judging anything. Basically, like, I have no idea what it could be.
It's like, sir, you have a phone call. Nature on line one.
Right. And she finally comes back to her seat and she's changed into a halter top.
What?
Yes. And she reeks of perfume.
What?
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, and she's like doing the thing where she's trying to get me to talk again, and she's still ordering drinks. And I'm like, I feel like I should be like slapping my wedding ring, or like, you know, just do something to say like, look, you know.
Oh, so you think she was coming on to you?
I mean, I don't think she was like. I just think she was talking to everybody. She was offering gum to the girl who was like a row up.
There's a special place in hell reserved for people like this.
No, but there's only one more thing that she does. She then. After she's come back from the bathroom, she's been sitting there, she's been gone 30 minutes, she starts vaping.
Shut up.
I swear to you.
Shut up.
She starts vaping on the plane.
Like tobacco or like tobacco, marijuana?
Tobacco. She starts vaping tobacco on the plane.
Isn't that...
It's wildly illegal.
I mean, this could be construed as like an act of terrorism. Right?
At that point, I'm like, is this like, it was like, am I, is this the ultimate terrorist trick? Is she like the ultimate mole who like purchased a first class ticket and she's dressed like some promiscuous lady pounding drinks
and she got cold feet about it, so she got wasted.
Yeah. Or like she's in the bathroom for 30 minutes. Like, what is she doing in there? You know, like, I'm terrified about this. So she does it once and it stinks. And like, I don't mind. I live in North Carolina. I understand smokers. I can deal with
it. You're on a freaking plane. Like, who the hell smokes on a plane?
But so she does it again. It's the second time she pulls it out and hits it. And I take my headphones off. I'm like, you can't do that in here.
Yeah.
And she's like, shh. And then I'm like, what?
Like, shh. Like other people can't see, like, or know what's going on.
And then she's like, I'm not exhaling the vapor. I'm holding it in long enough so it's not coming out.
Oh, is she
like,
Bill Clinton?
Yeah, I'm like, what is going on? So this is my morning, and my mind is still fried for this. So I'm wondering, did I approach this because I'm like an old crotchety person?
No, because you have a brain and you're intelligent.
Okay, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I hate her.
She's terrible.
And she's the worst person on the planet. If I had to sit next... See, it's always a tricky situation because, like, I feel like... I'm from New York, so I have, like, that bit of an attitude in me. And I hate a lot of people. Like, just in general.
Sure. Yeah.
People bother me.
I'm kind of a jerk, too. I don't like people.
People bother me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know if I would have said anything to her. Maybe I would have, but I would have been very, like, vocal, like... animated about my disgust.
No
question.
I mean, she was like, I'm sorry if I offended you. And I was just like,
sorry if you offended me. You know what I would like for you to shut up? Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Just stop talking.
Just figure out a way not to ruin this flight in one possible way. So, I mean, like, there was some discussion. I was emailing my friends about this. And I'm like, do you know what's happening? They're like, I mean, if you were a single guy, there was a little bit of, you know, like.
Well, here's the thing, though. And it's funny. I actually call it airplane roulette. Because you never know what you're going to get when you sit down in an airplane.
You never.
Now, I am currently on a streak. And I think the streak could last for the totality of my life. No, because this streak is more mathematically improbable than my Mr. Monday Night streak. I don't think I've ever once sat next to an attractive woman on a flight.
Oh, you're like life streak.
Not one time. Every time I sit down on a flight, I'm thinking... I see, like, because you know how it is at a terminal, right? Like, so you walk over to the terminal, to the gate or whatever, and you survey the area.
Sure.
You see, this girl's beautiful.
You're
this girl's very attractive.
Man, that would be awesome if I landed that.
So it's really funny. It's like, you know, you ever watch the show Lost when, like, they all see each other before and then they're on the plane together and recognize you? That's what happens on flights, right?
Sure.
So you'll see, like, a beautiful blonde in, like, yoga pants. And I'm thinking, like, wow, it would be really great if she sat next to me. And then you'll see, like, the parade. They all walk by. They all sit somewhere else. And invariably, someone will sit next to me who, for whatever the reason is an undesirable for one reason
there
or another.
Many reasons.
Oh, many reasons. Yeah, yeah. Many reasons. And I feel like I've never, like, Every time I get on an airplane, I think it has to be the time where I'm going to get lucky and be sat next to an attractive single girl who I will talk to for the duration of the flight. But no, instead it's the dude who decides that he has to eat his tuna sandwich with extra mayonnaise and extra onions right in my face. Or, you know, a woman who probably should have purchased three seats instead of one or whatever it's going to happen.
Yep.
So, yeah, my luck with airplanes and sitting seats on airplanes has never been good. Never.
I'm not going to tell a whole other airplane story, but this was actually cool. I was flying out of Florida a few weeks ago. Did I tell you this? And I sat next to Zach Thomas.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I didn't realize it at first. And because, you know, like, there's nothing worse than being in this. I was not in first class. So there's nothing worse than being sitting next to someone who's too big.
Hold on. Zach Thomas was not sitting in first class.
Oh, we were in the next level, like the economy comfort.
Zach Thomas was not in first class.
No, I think he's, yeah.
I was surprised. If I were Zach Thomas, I would never sit anywhere except for first class.
Well, so he sat, I agree with you, but he sat next
Hell,
to...
Hell, I'm Nick Costos, and I don't want to sit anywhere except for first class.
I'm Will Brinson.
Yeah. The problem is that I don't have millions of dollars in the bank to do that, generally. Yeah.
Well, but maybe that's why he has millions of dollars. At any rate, no, it's because he played football. But so
at a high level.
He sat next to me, and he was taking up, like, not in like a big way, but like in a... I am...
Like, I'm the Hulk.
I'm Jack kind of way, taking up all the space, and I was getting really annoyed, and then he noticed that I had football on my stuff. He's like, do you write about football for a living? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm Will. He's like, I'm Zach. And I was like, oh, cool, do you... And I was like...
And you realized.
I was like, did you play? And I was like, I realized who it was, and I was like, oh my God, it's Zach Thomas. And yeah. Then we proceeded to have this, like, two-hour conversation, and it was freaking awesome.
Very cool, yeah.
Yeah, so that was... So that's... I'm actually pretty lucky when it comes to that stuff, but today was a disaster.
Well, you know, it's... I always think about, like, if you're in... like a famous person on a plane, yeah. And you got to sit next to somebody, right? I feel like it'd be my worst nightmare to have to talk about the, like, having to answer the same questions over. At least, like, you work, like, you know people in the league, etc.
Yeah.
Do you know who Michael Ian Black is?
Of course.
I sat next to Michael Ian Black on a flight back from Vegas. I had no idea who he was until the end of the flight, and I looked at him, and I was like, holy crap. Like, I sat next to Michael and actually said to him, I go, why are you not in first class? And he made some sort of crack. And I don't think he was happy with me when I made it. But I'm like, Michael Ian Black, why are you not in first class, Michael Ian Black? Like, Zach Thomas, get your ass in first class. I mean, geez, if you've got the money, why? I don't know. I would never not sit in first class.
I'm with you. I'm glad I've flown enough that I get the upgrade. The upgrade is the best thing in the entire
life. And some people are like, well, you know, you're an elitist. What, you can't sit with the regular people? I don't want to.
Do you know what a good analogy for first class is? First class is Tony Romo. Coach is Matt Cassel. And that's where the Cowboys are on Saturday night when they face the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That was a hell of a segue. Well done, sir.
I was like, we're doing an airplane podcast.
Yeah, which was fun.
No, it'd be fun. I mean, like, I felt like I needed to gauge your reaction on a live thing.
Yes, here's my reaction. That woman's the worst person on the planet.
Thank you. See, that's how I felt.
Worst person on the planet.
So the Cowboys are getting 3.5 at home against the Jets.
So that's it. That's the grand introduction.
I mean, but I just feel like she's the worst person on the planet. She's vaping on the plane.
She vaped on. Yeah, I feel she should go to prison.
Yeah, like, yeah. I almost ratted her out to the stewardess on the
way
out.
You should have.
But I didn't want to be like a, like...
She should share a jail cell with those dudes that rappelled in Carolina on that Monday night game.
That is exactly right.
Like, that's like an act of terrorism,
like,
I feel.
My
like.
Biggest concern was she might drive out of the airport.
What the hell is wrong with people? All right, so let's talk about some football here.
Yeah.
This game, I have a really strong lead on this one.
By the way, hold on. If you have opinions on this lady on the airplane, or... you happen to be the lady on the airplane, you happen to listen to this podcast, you can tweet at me, at Will Brinson. You can tweet at Nick, at The Costos, KOSTOS.
That's right.
And make sure to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Leave a comment, leave a review. You can use TuneIn or Stitcher, whatever works. Anyway, you have a strong lean, Jets, Cowboys.
Who do you think I like in this game?
I'm going to say that you like the Cowboys because I think they're getting 3.5 at home. The Jets are playing Ryan Fitzpatrick, who has like 29 fantasy points per week over the last 3 weeks, but he is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the Cowboys defense is a little bit better than people expect.
Yeah, I think the last part's the most important one. And even though Dallas gave up 28 points last week against the Packers, it's an improving defense and an improving pass rush, and you're starting to see those young players on the defensive line, whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence or Randy Gregory, starting to round into form here. Ryan Fitzpatrick has not turned the ball over since that Thursday night game against the Bills in the Merry Christmas game when they were wearing the green and the red, colorblind people driven insane. He's due for some turnovers because he is, in fact, the living, breathing, bearded turnover, Ryan Fitzpatrick. So I'm expecting multi-turnover game from Fitzpatrick. I think the Dallas offense scores enough points. I think Dallas wins a low-scoring game. I like the Cowboys to win the game outright.
Interesting. I think that this game is a good test of what you mentioned in last week's podcast. add six to the line.
Yeah, so the Jets would be 9.5-point favorites.
And you would take the home. Cowboys in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat, because they have a good defense.
Well, you're not taking the Jets minus 10 points.
No. I mean,
even though they beat the living tar out of the
Titans. I'll take the Jets minus 9.5 at home against Oregon, not against an NFL team.
Right. And I'm taking the Jets, but it's mainly because I'm in a situation with my main fantasy team.
Okay.
I made the playoffs.
Great.
I had Andy Dalton, Thomas Rawls, and Jonathan Stewart.
Oh, good.
Those are problems.
So yes, now I'd say so.
So now I'm starting Ryan Fitzpatrick,
okay,
Brandon Bolden, and Bryce Brown, along with Demaryius Thomas, John Brown. I'm sitting Dez Bryant.
I actually.
You can't start him.
I took Dez Bryant out of my lineup for Allen Hurns.
Hurns is the other guy I'm starting. I'm starting Hurns over Dez Bryant.
What a time to be alive.
It's
what a world we live in.
But you have to.
Benching Dez Bryant, chicken loaded on the plane at 9 in the morning. What a life.
It's all coming raining down. All right. I like the Jets, but I might be delusional. I think you might be onto something with the Chiefs or the Cowboys. That is a Saturday night 8:25 NFL Network game. Sunday at 1 p.m. on CBS Sports. The Kansas City Chiefs are 7.5-point favorites in Baltimore because Baltimore is this? No, that's not accurate. Their leading passer by technicality is Ryan Mallett. However, they're probably going to start Jimmy Clausen.
I think, well, Schaub's been practicing.
Oh, Schaub might be back this week? Okay. Wow, Ryan Mallett has better stats than Matt Schaub. That's terrifying. Javorius Allen, we've talked about this every week.
He's Kamari. Also missed more flights, missed more team flights. Yeah,
you know who else likes to drink? No, I probably shouldn't say that about Ryan Mallett. Maybe that was Mrs.
Speaking of drinks on an airplane.
Speaking of morons on an airplane,
or not on the airplane, just morons right. In general.
I would have much rather sat next to Ryan Mallett than that girl. Do you buy that the Chiefs are a legitimate contender for the playoff? I mean, they're a legitimate playoff contender, yeah. Obviously, because they're going to make it. They have a
could win the AFC.
Yeah,
I mean, I if they could, I could see them maybe going into Denver possibly and beating the Broncos, maybe.
Mm.
I could see them maybe going into Cincinnati and beating a Bengals team minus Andy Dalton. I think that they could give the Steelers potentially a good game if they met in the postseason. But Alex Smith and Andy Reid are not going into Foxborough and beating the Patriots.
I just don't think – I think
they could play that game 100 times and the Patriots would win 100
I think
times.
Their ceiling is just so capped. Like, they're going to lose – 35-23 in a playoff game.
And you know what else they're not going to do? Cover the spread on Sunday against the Ravens.
It's too many points.
It's an asinine spread. So let's play the game that we just played, right? So you're telling me that if this game were played in Kansas City, the Chiefs would be 13.5-point favorites at home? Maybe if Jimmy Clausen were playing, I'd consider the Chiefs. But if Matt Schaub's under center, which I expect, I love the Ravens, one of my favorite picks of the week, plus the 7.5 at home.
I thought that I would agree with you. I looked... Oh, no, I do agree with you. I took Baltimore. What am I saying? All right, yeah, I mean, excuse me. I can't take – I took – and I'm impressed with myself that I am taking Baltimore here.
Yes.
Because I was the lone person on Baltimore last week in terms of the expert picks.
A terrible pick.
Of course, but it was 11.5. I was – you know, I mean, and it looked like they might keep it close for the first 30 seconds of the game.
Yes. They'll always have that opening 30
But
seconds.
After losing that, it's difficult not to just say, you know what?
Screw them.
I'm going with KC.
When you're picking games, though, you got to lose that.
Right. But that's the beauty. It's like, I think everybody sees that. Vegas sees that. It's like, people are going to be betting heavily on Kansas City.
Absolutely.
And that's why you got to go with Baltimore.
Yeah, have you ever seen the Vegas Strip? It's beautiful, right?
Big buildings.
Did it appear out of nowhere?
It's not powered by gerbils.
No, it's not powered by gerbils. It's powered by people who do things like bet money on the Kansas City Chiefs, minus 7.5 on the road.
So we both like the Ravens getting 7 in the hook at home and hope for just an ugly football game, sloppy football game, late Matt Schaub. Touchdown, maybe.
Pick six. We'll see.
And hopefully not a pick six to cover. Pick six to lose by six. Houston at Indianapolis, first place on the line in the AFC South. Both teams are 6-7. Our pal Trent Green, who was on this very podcast earlier this week, is calling this game. This is a terrible football game.
Awful. If Charlie Whitehurst starts at quarterback, it'll be Charlie Whitehurst versus T.J. Yates for first place in an NFL division in the year 2015.
See, what a world.
It's actually what a time to be alive.
Should we be concerned about the health and safety of this planet?
I think so.
I mean,
I'm not sure. Like, how is this even like within the realm of possibility? That
it
this
shouldn't
is
be.
No, it should not be.
And
it's
health and safety wise, Charlie Whitehurst needs to start. Because Andrew Luck has been ruled out officially.
Yeah, and Matt Hasselbeck, I mean...
is 40 and, like, beaten.
He reminds me at this point of Brett Favre at the end of Favre's career, where every time Favre got hit, I was nervous he wasn't going to get back up.
And that's actually a very good parallel, because Hasselbeck was the backup to Favre before he got traded to Seattle. I mean, like...
Indeed.
I don't know what was in the water that Favre was passing out in Green Bay. But I mean,
we'll leave that one alone. But J.J. Watt could actually like kill Matt Hasselbeck.
Yeah, or Charlie Whitehurst.
Or Charlie, but like I feel Matt like, Hasselbeck.
But
really,
I feel like
though.
If J.J. Watt, like if he got Matt Hasselbeck, he would like tackle him and shatter him. If he got like Charlie Whitehurst, he would be like, oh, and then like gently like lay like Whitehurst's like tender body down.
Is this because his tender bearded body?
Yes,
is this because that Whitehurst bears a resemblance to a certain savior and or messiah?
Yes.
The clipboard
exactly.
Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst.
One Jesus Christe.
Yes, indeed. I don't know who I like.
There's not even a line, is
there? Well, I mean, the Westgate line, which locks in on Wednesday for the Super Contest, is Colts minus two.
Okay.
So like, let's work off that. Colts minus
That's
two.
Fine.
If Matt Hasselbeck plays, I like the Colts. If Charlie Whitehurst plays, give me the Texans.
I'll take the points either way because I think the Texans were just overmatched. It's a shortish week because they played the Sunday night game. They were just overmatched. J.J. Watt's hand is a concern. I just think I think we're going to see Charlie Whitehurst one way or another. The Colts offensive line stinks. They can't keep J.J. Watt from getting a hold of Matt Hasselbeck the whole game. And at some point, he gets us to Charlie Whitehurst, and here we are.
How about the Texans took Jadeveon Clowney with the first overall pick in that draft?
Instead of Khalil Mack and Blake Bortles.
And then in the second round, took Xavier Suafilo, guard from UCLA, when they could have had Derek Carr.
Yeah, I didn't like Derek Carr coming out, so I'm okay with it.
And I guess, like, it's a tough sell, given that David was a colossal bust for the Texans, yeah. And his older brother. But, I mean, they blew it.
Yeah,
you'd think Bill O'Brien. And then they took Tom Savage in the fourth round.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Macho Man Randy Savage. Rest in peace, Randy.
I actually like Tom Savage over Derek Carr in that draft.
That's not good.
No, Raiders fans keep retweeting me. Even though I write nice things about Derek Carr now, look, he made a big jump his second year in terms of throwing the deep ball.
Massive.
And I give all the credit in the world to him. He's a good quarterback. He's also got Amari Cooper. That's huge. But the Mack thing, they should have taken Mack one.
So bad.
They should have taken Bortles one.
Khalil Mack, we'll talk more about this when we preview that game. He was Lawrence Taylor last week.
That was incredible.
Incredible. Like, he single-handedly won the game last week.
Yes, yes. Single-handedly changed the game.
I haven't been that impressed with that's like Derek Thomas stuff, what he did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that's Hall of Fame caliber
stuff. The last
guy
with 5.5 sacks is Derek Thomas, I think. Or 4.5 sacks.
It was just... spellbounding. Like I was, it was enchanting. It was incredible.
Do you know what we need is someone out there, and I don't think that I can do it because of rights issues.
Okay.
But like SB Nation needs to do this. Take the tape of all 5 of his sacks.
Yes.
And do like a highlight package with Return of the Mac playing all over it. Like that would go viral.
What's your, you know, I'm always stunned when I meet people that don't like Return of the Mac.
Who doesn't like Return of
the
Mac?
There are people that don't like Return of the Mac.
Who are these animals? Are they drinking liquor at 9 a.m. on a plane?
There are people that don't like Return of the Mac.
That's terrible.
I think Return of the Mac is potentially a top 10 song that's ever been recorded in the history of life.
We vehemently disagree about certain musical tastes.
Yes.
But I'm with you there.
Like,
I mean,
when you're at a bar and a Friday or Saturday, and you hear the, whoa.
Good times are coming.
You not get fired up.
Yeah, it's insane.
And This Is How We Do It, two of the great anthems of all time.
This Is How We Do It is taking a major hit right now because of that Dish Network campaign. Have you not? Dish Is How We Do It.
No. Is that a thing?
You guys see that? Oh, my God. All I see is these commercials with Dish Network, and they're like, Dish Is How We Do It.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Like, leave Montel Jordan alone.
Right. But that's the problem. So they're ruining that, and Montel's always doing these like insurance commercials.
Yes. Return of the Mac, though, one of the all-time great songs.
You can't hurt Return
of the Mac.
Shout
out to Mark Morrison.
Absolutely.
Which game were we talking about?
We're done with Indianapolis.
Okay, cool.
We agree that both those teams are terrible.
Yes.
Atlanta-Jacksonville, front office connections.
Although Chuck Pagano did have the best quote of the year when he said, they can fire me, but they can't eat me.
They can't eat me.
Well, okay, great. I was aware that Jim Irsay was a cannibal. Thank you for telling me.
It's like, oh, gee, Chuck.
They can't eat you. Great. Welcome to organized civilization, Chuck.
It's like, what do you think the step down from there is?
There's no buffer in between firing and eating.
We couldn't even just have kill?
Like maybe Chuck Pagano got loaded and watched Alive the night before he had that conversation, the night before he said that.
We couldn't even go with, hurt. Yeah. They can't fire me. They can't hurt me. They can fire me.
Like, or do, a William Wallace Braveheart. They'll never break their stuff. What's the line? Something our freedom. They'll never take our freedom.
I think he just yells freedom.
No, they'll never take our lives. They can take our
lives,
but
they'll
never
take our
freedom.
Yes,
he couldn't give something like that.
Yeah,
going to eat him?
Yeah, right. They can fire me. They can't take my freedom.
Or they can fire me, but they can't kill me.
Yeah.
Why did it have to be eat?
Hurt. Hurt would be sufficient.
Like that's a very specific thing that he's referring to. Like being consumed. It's like Hannibal Lecter.
Can't you kind of picture Jim Irsay sitting down at a table and tucking a napkin in with his fork and knife?
Drinking Chianti with some pava beans.
Yeah. And
Hannibal Lecter
just
style.
Just kind of sawing at Pagano and telling Ryan Grigson he needs to shape it up or else,
Ryan Grigson.
Yeah.
God and Savior.
All right, Atlanta-Jacksonville.
Yes.
I'm only moving. I mean, we can talk about Gregson if we want.
No, I think we should. Yeah, we can leave it, I think.
I was just thinking, because I burned like half of the first half of the podcast talking about chicks drinking on planes.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I feel like if I were the Colts GM and I got to draft Andrew Luck, I'd probably still have a job too.
That doesn't count. See, like, you know, the downside, look, he doesn't get any credit for drafting Andrew Luck, and he doesn't deserve any credit for
no.
it. No. Because he just sat there and took the best player. As I said on, I said on a radio hit the other day, I was trying to think, I was like, I knew I said this to somebody. My son, who's about to turn 2 in January, could have drafted Andrew Luck. And he was an unborn fetus then. He could have selected Andrew Luck. We could have a fetus select Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Like, it wouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah.
Anybody could do that. You could come and say to me, if I were drafting for where Gregson was, you could say, I will give you my next 2 drafts.
Yes.
2 entire drafts.
And you say no.
I would say, that wouldn't just say no. I would say, hell no.
You hang up and you take Andrew
Hell
Luck.
No. Do you have Aaron Rodgers on your team? Hell no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's it.
Yeah. And it's just the pick of Philip Dorsett this year in the first round was like, we just got killed by the Patriots and out-physicaled by the Patriots. You know what we're going to do? Let's get another speed receiver in here and then give T.Y. Hilton an extension. Like, I thought that pick made sense if you let Hilton walk and have Dorsett replace him. Oh, they're all going to be on the same roster. I'm not quite sure he knows what he's doing.
I'm on board with the Dorsett pick if you're picking the best guy available and if you have so much job security that you're not concerned about how your defensive run game will fare or your offensive line will fare in the coming season.
Like, can Philip Dorsett tackle LeGarrette Blount?
Or block Chandler Jones?
Or catch the football or get on the field?
No, he cannot.
Yes, two important things for a receiver in the NFL. A, to play. B, to catch.
Unless you can compress him into a small white shape that will, like, that you can fit into, like, unless he can serve as a rib protector for Andrew Luck,
yes,
then what's the point here?
There is no point.
Yeah, exactly.
He might as well be vaping on a plane.
He's just a vape. Gregson just hanging out vaping on a plane.
Instead of snakes on a plane, it should be vape on a plane.
Vapes on a plane.
Vapes on a plane. Yes. Starring the worst person in the world, that woman.
I should have asked her name. I should have got her name just so I could Facebook her. Atlanta, Jacksonville, the Jaguars. We really are facing just apocalyptical of circumstances.
Yeah.
The Jaguars are 3-point favorites in Week 15, even though it's at home
against a team that started 5-0.
Yeah, and the Jags are 5-8. It's totally possible the Texans and Colts could tie 0-0, and the Jaguars could win this game and gain ground on both of them. Atlanta is free falling.
Yeah.
They're done. But I kind of feel like this is a game where, like, everybody's, if Dan Quinn's got any spirit.
Is he going to get fired?
I think, I like him. No, I don't think he is. And Jason Lockenfor wrote about this for CBS. He was pointing out, he's like, look, this is the situation where, you know, they gave Dan Quinn final say on the roster. This is a situation where Arthur Blank cleans out the front office and lets Dan Quinn bring in a guy like Seattle has with Schneider and Pete Carroll.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't think so. But, I mean, you got to be a little
this
concerned.
This is bad, man.
Seven
it's
straight
bad.
Losses.
It's bad, and it's embarrassing.
Seven straight, right?
I think it might be. Yeah, it's
seven. No, it's not. It's like 6 straight now, I think.
So they started 5-0. Now they're what? 6-7
6-7 now.
6-7.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's bad.
Gross.
And 38-0. It's 6 straight losses because they won one. They beat the Titans by 3 in Tennessee.
Oh, yeah.
That was a thorough beating at the hands of a division rival. That you're trying, it's your Super Bowl, you know. Like,
they took a group photo on the sideline, the Panthers, while the game was going on.
Yeah. And
embarrassing.
It's bad. Matt Ryan's regressed. They broke their franchise.
Well, is it Matt Ryan's regressed, or is it Kyle Shanahan doesn't know what he's doing?
Yeah, I think it might be Kyle Shanahan.
I think it could be a little combination of both.
Well, Matt Ryan was good with Dirk Cutter, and Jameis Winston's good with Dirk Cutter.
Our guy Pete Prisco, he's got it all on the doorstep of Kyle Shanahan.
Well, of course he does, because he's been saying Matt Ryan's better than Russell Wilson. He looks very smart because of that right now. And by very smart, I mean idiotic.
I mean extremely dumb.
I love you, Pete, but just give it up, man. You're going crazy with this Russell Wilson thing.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's pretty good.
He's good.
This just in.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, he's also started in the last 2 Super Bowls.
So where's your head at with Jacksonville -3?
I don't think the Jaguars should be 3-point favorites really against many teams in the league. I'll take the points with the Falcons. I will not have a financial investment of my own in this one, so it's not a strong pick by me. But, I mean, I feel like, to your point, and you said this when you introduced the game, it's a situation where people will look at the spread and want to take Jacksonville. Put up a 50-burger last week. Got
40-burger in the second half.
And look, and they've got some sexy options on offense. People love fantasy football. People love Blake Bortles. People love Allen Robinson. People love Allen Hurns. People love Julius Thomas. Falcons will probably win the game.
Denard Robinson is going to be one of the most played guys in fantasy playoffs this week because T.J. Yeldon is out,
yes,
or at least questionable, and people need running backs badly.
Yeah.
I'm the only person, and we said this last week about the about the Falcons.
Okay.
So that could be problematic. I'm the only person taking Atlanta again this week.
Let's go.
So I'm with it. I'm getting three and a hook on here. I'll take Atlanta when everybody's riding the Jaguars.
No doubt. Let's do it.
Yeah, they're willing to lose games at home that they shouldn't lose. Chicago at Minnesota, 5-8 Chicago, 8-5 Minnesota. Only a 5.5-point spread after Chicago just lost to the Washington. I heard somebody call them the Washington breadcrumbs. I kind of like that. The Washington breadcrumbs at home.
Okay.
Just like, if you're one of those people who doesn't want to say Redskins,
yeah,
and I'm not.
I'm not either.
Yeah, I mean, if you want them to stop saying it.
And that's their team name. Change the team name, and I'll call them
the NFL
else.
Can say, hey, Danny Boy.
Correct.
Get rid of it.
Yeah.
And then I'll call them whatever you want.
Yeah. But, and it's not a political statement by me. It's just that's the name of the team, the Washington Redskins. I call them the Washington
and
Redskins.
And you know why I won't stop writing it? Because we have to actually write the name in our system to tag it.
Yeah.
They won't auto tag breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points.
I like bread panko.
Love some panko.
Delicious.
Minnesota -5.5. What do you think?
I think this is a tough game. I'll take the points with the Bears. I just don't think Minnesota is good enough to be favored by 5.5 points in this spot. Teddy Bridgewater plays better indoors. I was very encouraged by Bridgewater's performance last week, and it was
best
funny.
Game
you
know, of, best
we
game
we did Thursday Night Live last week, and we talked about it like it was a foregone conclusion that the Cardinals. It wasn't. Are the Cardinals going to win? It's how many points are the Cardinals going to win by? So impressed by the Vikings' effort there. I think the Vikings win this game, but I think Chicago can do enough on offense against a banged up Vikings defense. Cutler, Alshon Jeffrey, Matt Forte, Zach Miller, and company. I think Chicago falls inside the number.
I should have probably looked this up before we started doing the podcast. Harrison Smith has been limited. Linval Joseph. If you know, feel free to jump in. Linval Joseph back at practice, and then Anthony Barr is not practicing. So these, 2 days ago, those three guys were not practicing. If those three guys are out, I love Chicago. If those three guys are in and Minnesota's getting 10 days rest, I'm a little worried about it, but I'm still taking the 5.5. I'm not changing picks in the middle of the week like I did last week. I think it messed me up. Tennessee at New England. Remember the last time that these two teams played New England? Was like that snow game, the 59-0 snow game.
Oh, yeah. It was Jeff Fisher's last year in Tennessee.
That's right.
Yeah.
God, that game was. It was like nobody's going to be able to score any points, and then New England hung a 50-burger on Tennessee.
Yeah.
I don't see the
Tennessee's running back in that game was the other Chris Henry, right?
You're right.
Arizona,
wow,
Chris
good
Henry.
Call.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know why I remember that.
That is odd.
It is.
I like New England. I don't love New England. 14's a lot of points. Gronk back changes their team.
I think Mike Mularkey's in over his head. I think the Patriots are going to crush them.
Yeah, blowout.
Like, bludgeon.
14 says, please take the Titans.
I agreed, and I would be more inclined to take Tennessee if it were like 12.5. Because then
because then
you would potentially look at it and say, it's only 12.5, I'm going to take New England. But at 14, the book is saying to you, New England is going to throttle them.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to play the game just out of principle because I don't like laying numbers that big. But if you made me pick, I'd take New England.
And we got 13.5 on our site, and everybody's taking the Patriots. That's a little concerning, but I saw how Tennessee looked against the Jets, and
I'm fascinated to see what Marcus Mariota can do next year with a new coach.
Yeah. That's the best job opening.
We will be, yeah.
Even with ownership and GM and talent concerns.
Yeah.
I mean, they have talent. Like Jarrell Casey's, who's one of the best defensive linemen in the league.
No one talks about.
They got decent talent at wide receiver. Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
I mean,
they have a lot of talent on the offensive line. They've got some edge rushing pieces.
If you're a coach who gets a lot of power, you're gonna be able to make a high pick. You get a franchise quarterback.
Indeed. And I like Mariota quite a bit.
I do too. He's fantastic. Carolina at the Giants. Giants getting 5. Your Giants getting 5. They are now 6-7 after an impressive win on Monday night.
Was it impressive?
No.
The Giants ran into the only team dumber than they are on Monday night. The Dolphins out-dumbed the Giants
on
Monday. The
two things about that game, though. One, the Odell Beckham catch.
Yeah, he's there. We've run out of superlatives.
But,
for
like,
ODB.
I almost think that catch.
No, don't say it.
No?
No.
Not even close. I'm not talking about the long one. I'm talking about the toe tap.
Oh, I know what you meant. Yeah, the toe tap. Not more impressive than the catch against last year.
It's not from a physical standpoint, from a mental.
It's insane.
Full body control.
He's like Michael Jordan. It's. I think he's the best player in the league. Like, maybe J.J. Watt, you could say, is better. I think Odell Beckham Jr. is the best football player on the planet.
He's the best wide receiver in the league.
Yeah.
It's not like it might not even be close.
I don't think, and that's not insulting Julio Jones or Des Bryant or any
DeAndre
of these other
Hopkins
or Antonio Brown. This is not an insult to them to say they're not as good. It's like when people make the LeBron Jordan comparison and they say LeBron's not as good as Jordan. Are you insulting LeBron by saying he's not as good as Jordan? No one's as good as Jordan. It's not an insult to say he's not as good as Michael. He's the greatest of all time. Now Beckham's got a lot of work to do to get to that pedestal, but at this moment, who's better than he is?
I also think nobody. And I also think
he's the only weapon on that offense. It's just him.
And old Rube Randall.
Yeah, Rube Randall. I mean, it's not exactly Mark Clayton to Beckham's Mark Duper.
The other thing about Beckham, too, the difference, you see that catch, the physical freak nature, the full understanding of his body, getting that toe in. But then the long catch, I wrote a post, it was like, the Dolphins failed to cover Odell Beckham. And that's true, but he flat out de-pantsed a safety on that slant and go.
The Dolphins stink.
The Dolphins are terrible.
I can't wait to talk about them, actually.
Okay.
I'm gonna burn it to the ground. But here's my thing about this game. Are you ready for a history lesson, Mr. Brinson?
Sure.
Back in 1998, I was 15 years old. And at that point, I was maybe at the height of my New York Giants fandom.
Sure.
And a 13-0 team came into Giants Stadium. That would be the Denver Broncos, the defending Super Bowl champions.
John Elway,
Terrell Davis and company came into MetLife Stadium. It was Giants Stadium at the time. The Meadowlands. To take on Kent Graham and the New York Football Giants. The Giants won the game 20-16 on a Kent Graham long touchdown pass to my guy, Amani Toomer, to break up the undefeated season. I almost had an aneurysm when it happened. True story. Like, I was writhing on the ground like a fish that just came onto a boat and is flopping around without water. That was me when that happened. And then, I don't know if you remember this, but it was on, I believe, February 3rd, 2008, not that I'm keeping track. The Giants played the undefeated New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42, and they beat the Patriots. So there is precedent set for this Giants team, the New York Giants in general, knocking off undefeated teams off that perch. All of that said, I don't think the Giants will win the game. I think Carolina wins, improves to 14-0, but give me the Giants to cover the spread.
I agree with you on that. And there is, just play devil's avocado here, the Giants did lose to the Patriots earlier in that year before they beat them.
In week 17, 38-35.
I think if you're the Panthers, this is the only losable game left on your schedule, because they're gonna thump the Falcons next week, no matter what happens in this game.
Because the Falcons stink.
And they're going to take care of business against the Buccaneers in the final week.
You'd think so.
I think if you're the Panthers, you're fine if you lose this game.
Yeah, and look, and Ron Rivera, to his credit, and I give him credit for this, has said, like, they're holding Jonathan Stewart out this week.
Yeah.
They're going to be smart because they're trying to win a championship here.
By the way, this is – have we mentioned Cameron Artis Payne on this podcast before?
The rookie running back out of Auburn. I have him in a dynasty league, yeah.
Yeah, well – they're going to activate him and give him some carries.
Yes.
And I think that's really smart, because that's why you draft the guy. He can come in and soak up these carries, because he's not going to play late in the season.
No.
But if you give him these carries in the regular season when you've clinched a spot.
Some experience. And then he can maybe help you in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I just remember Eli Manning's first playoff game following the 2005 season. I was there in attendance. This was the same day that Kimo von Olhoffen blew out Carson Palmer's knee.
Yes.
That was the second game of the doubleheader. The first game was the Giants hosting the Carolina Panthers, Jake DeLoman company. Carolina, I believe, started Nick Goings at running back in
that's
that
correct.
Game. And Carolina ran all over the Giants. They won the game 23-0. It was an absolutely miserable experience for yours truly. And I just feel like, it does Cameron Artis Payne, Fozzie Whittaker, Mike Tolbert, I mean, geez, they could bring back, Timbiaka Batuka could come back and run all over the Giants in this one.
Nick Goings and Brad Hoover that year.
Brad Hoover.
Straight from Thomasville, North Carolina, which I'm sure you visited before in your
life. I mean, it's my favorite place on the planet.
Yeah, that's right. Buffalo at Washington. I got the Giants, too. I'll take the points. Buffalo at Washington. This is a very surprising line, because the Redskins just went on the road and won. Oh. They are a 6-7 team, just like Buffalo. They can, they played really well at home, with the exception of the Dallas game, and they're underdogs.
Yeah, I actually, on the Sportsline podcast earlier, picked the Redskins. Can I change my pick?
You do whatever the hell you want.
You just gave like the greatest reason why Buffalo's the pick in this game. You're 100% right.
It's like, it's so obvious it's the Redskins that
you have to go the other way.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing it. I was on the sports. My apologies if you listen to the Sportsline podcast also.
You should listen to the opening line, the Sportsline podcast.
Correct.
It's a great podcast.
It's a great podcast, mostly because I'm on it. But yes. And you were also on it at points as well. I'm going to take the Bills. I'm officially changing my pick here. And I think now I'm going to come up with all the reasons why I like the Bills, even though I took the Redskins earlier. Sammy Watkins going to have a big game. This defense. defense. How about Marcel Darius saying during the week that we kind of fell into the hype? Well, no bleep. Like, Rex Ryan's team believed the hype. What a shock. We've never seen that happen before.
A Rex Ryan roller coaster? Never.
But I think maybe this team's been humbled a little bit by what we saw last week. Fighting for its playoff life, I like the Bills.
I like the Redskins. So I just tricked you into taking the Bills.
Whatever.
No, it's fine. I Kirk Cousins is going to play well at home.
Well, Star Wars is coming out. You just hit me with the Brinson Jedi mind trick.
There's no...
Are these the droids I'm looking for?
These are the droids you're looking for. Cool. I still haven't seen the last Star Wars.
Revenge of the Sith?
Yeah.
It was really good.
Is it good?
It's by far the best of the...
I think I saw Phantom Menace. I know I've seen Phantom Menace.
Or Phantom Menace is...
Is that episode one?
Yes.
That one was terrible.
That's the one with Darth Maul, with the two...
And Jar Jar Binks.
And Jar Jar Binks.
That one was terrible, right?
Not good.
But then was it the next one? It was Attack of the Clones, with Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson also in the third
one. That one's pretty good, right?
Attack of the Clones is a good movie. Yeah.
My wife has never seen...
any of them.
What do you call episode four?
A New Hope.
Yeah, Star Wars. She's never seen Star Wars.
These are grounds for divorce, I think.
You know what else she's never seen?
What's that?
Top Gun.
Okay, I've never seen Top Gun.
What? How?
No, I don't know.
You need to go watch Top Gun.
I'm not a movie guy.
You need to go watch Top Gun.
I have ADD, which you may or may not have been able to get self-diagnosed.
You probably haven't seen Days of Thunder then either.
No, I might have ADHD, like hyper.
You know they make medicine for that.
Yeah, I'm cool though.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm able to harness it to do things like this podcast, which is great.
Yeah.
But yes, my attention span is not great. So like it's a daunting prospect for me.
To watch
that,
a movie?
Like, no, it's more like the mentality of knowing that I have to sit in the seat and invest like 2 hours of my life into one thing.
You start looking at your phone, and then you're making picks, and then you forget what's going on.
That being said, I went on Fandango a couple days ago, and I bought tickets for Star Wars.
So you're a big Star Wars guy, then?
Yeah, I like Star Wars. Yeah.
I mean, not that makes you like different than anybody else.
I mean, it could.
I bet doesn't like Star Wars.
Who's that?
Brady Quinn.
Oh, Brady would probably call me a nerd for liking Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, like he's like you're like you know what I like is fantasy football. He's like nerd.
We're gonna. You know what? I wrote the rundown for Thursday Night Live already. I'm replacing one of the true falses with true or false. You will see Star Wars this weekend.
I think it should be like true or false. No, we can get some clicks for this show.
Okay.
True or false, people who like Star Wars are nerds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
because if we get Brady Quinn says Star Wars, people who watch Star Wars are nerds, Star Wars people will descend. Did you see that Fox News girl?
No.
You could tell she was doing a little bit for trolling, kind of like what we're doing right now.
Correct,
But she like ripped, she called like Star Wars people nerds, and she started, her people came at her on Twitter like with death threats and like stuff like that, which is what happens when you insult Star Wars, and that's okay. People are passionate about it, and I respect that. I'm excited for when my son is old enough to watch it and get pumped up for it.
Nice.
And then I think I'll nerd out with him.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm just.
I'll nerd out to see it. And also, like, I feel like in this day and age, like, it's important to see it as soon as you can because it's going to get spoiled.
Yeah, and that's the difference with this one because this is the first new...
Correct.
This is 7.
This is 7, yes.
Right, because you knew coming into with 1, 2, and 3 that they weren't going to be new. Right. I mean, there was not going to be new
action.
They
also came out in 1997, like 2000, like 2004.
There was no Twitter.
No Twitter then,
Facebook, anyway. All right.
And the big rumor is that Kylo Ren, the bad guy in this movie, in the new Star Wars, is Luke Skywalker.
Whoa. Like Luke went evil?
Like Luke went evil, yeah.
I've seen that rumor. That's pretty crazy.
And if that's true and it gets spoiled for me before I see the movie, I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink and vape on a plane.
But isn't it because it's like Luke Skywalker's not on the poster? That's like the logic behind it or something?
But like Mark Hamill's in the movie, apparently.
Yeah.
And you've
seen
the trailer when like he goes, I'm going to finish what you started, and it's Vader's like disfigured helmet. That would be very cool.
That would be cool.
Like that's a nerd out moment.
Yeah, I mean, so I might need to... Our boss, Eric Kay, tried to stream like all the Star Wars. Apparently, you can't just like go on Netflix and watch Star Wars.
No, but I mean, I've seen all of them.
Of course, yeah, but I mean, like if you're trying to like get psyched up, like you might spend your day before you go see the movie, like watching.
Probably not.
You know him too well.
Too much of and it's also a strong investment of time, which I'm not. You said something which I really resonated with me. I like to spend my time efficiently. Sitting and watching 6 Star Wars movie in one day is not efficient.
No, that's a fun way to spend a rainy Saturday in the summer.
In the off season.
Yeah.
In the NFL off season.
There's too much stuff going on.
Going
too much
on.
Fantasy, too much gambling to deal with.
Too much life.
That's right. Green Bay at Oakland. How are the Packers only favored by 3?
Because the Raiders will win.
I picked the Raiders to win too.
I think the Raiders are going to win. It makes me a little nervous. The Raiders are the smart pick in this game, just like the Lions were the smart pick on Thursday night a couple weeks ago, just like the Cowboys were the smart pick last week. I took Green Bay in both of those games, so I'm going to attempt fade a little bit here and get off the Packers train here. Khalil Mack. I mean, he's looking like a once-in-a-generation type player. That's a makeshift offensive line for Green Bay. I'm still not sold on this offense. Oakland at home here. Derek Carr can do enough on offense to put points on the board. I like Oakland.
Tough place to play for Green Bay, not being at home. I like Oakland to win, too, for some weird reason. I don't think they're out of the playoff hunt yet, either. Cleveland at Seattle. Seattle minus 15. Cleveland starting Johnny Football. Mike Pettin decided to tell Russell Wilson he's not a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. That was stupid, and I think that the Seahawks are going to rain touchdown fire on the Browns because of it.
I think the Browns are going to cover.
Really?
I think you're going to see a plucky effort from Johnny Manziel, and I think Cleveland will cover the spread but lose the game.
Like within 7, 10?
I think that Seattle will win this game something like 28-17. 28-14.
Might even win by just 14.
24-13.
So it's going to look like it's not going to be as bad as that Jimmy Clausen effort up there.
I mean,
not last week.
Jimmy Clausen makes Johnny Manziel look like Joe Montana.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. He's Jimmy Clausen is very bad. Denver at Pittsburgh.
I thought he was going to be good too when I watched him at Notre Dame.
Clausen, yeah. Brady and I had a weird discussion. I think it was during. It was before the halftime show. We were debating greatest Notre Dame quarterback of all time, which is awkward because it's kind of him.
Brady's like, probably the guy, right?
Right. Well, I mean, like,
Rick Meyer, like Joe Montana.
I mean, if you're talking just Notre Dame stats,
yes,
Brady's kind of the guy.
Brady was such a badass, man.
Yeah, he was.
He was so badass.
But there's a guy. So like, somebody at Bleacher Report did a list of like top 10 all time.
Yeah.
And the number one guy on the list was a guy who played in the 40s, and I don't remember who it was.
Screw that guy.
But you know how many career passing yards he had?
Who? The guy in the 40s?
Yeah.
In 4 years?
Yeah.
3,000.
2,100 and like, 2,800. Like one. It's like, Brady, that's 1 year. He's like, whoa, different eras. I'm like, dude, you're the greatest quarterback in Notre Dame history.
Brady, just own it, Brady.
Just soak
like,
it up.
Brady,
yeah.
You're great.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just
cool.
Walk around doing pink rings.
I think I'm great. I own it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm great.
Like, yeah, you were pretty good at Notre Dame, pal.
Yes.
Denver at Pittsburgh. This line is exorbitantly high.
Yes.
Pittsburgh is a Vegas and public darling right now.
Indeed.
They're number four in terms of seeding Vegas odds to win the Super Bowl right now.
Yes.
That's scary. They're not in the playoffs.
I'll take the Broncos with the points. Defense travels. And they're going to Pittsburgh, and I think if there's one defense capable of slowing down Roethlisberger and that aerial assault, it's Denver. And I think this is a classic overvalued, undervalued spot where the Steelers, who just thrashed the Bengals, a little overvalued, and then you have an undervalued Denver team who basically got annihilated by one-man wrecking crew Khalil Mack last week. I think it's way too many points. Give me the Broncos with confidence.
I like the Steelers a lot in this game.
Mm.
This can be our pickoff here.
Okay.
Because I think this is like a please take Denver.
Ooh,
type of line.
I don't know if I agree with that.
It's like, it screams. It's like, they're like, look, that's a lot of points.
Yeah.
I mean, would you take Denver if they were a pick 'em at home?
Against the Steelers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I do think that the Broncos, and we've seen this, like when they play the Packers and stuff, match up well because they can put Chris Harris on Antonio Brown.
Yep.
And they can put Aqib Talib on Martavis Bryant.
Yep.
And Bradley Roby can guard Marcus Wheaton.
Yes.
And
and they have a pass rush.
Yep. Yeah.
So give me the Broncos.
I'll take
the
Steelers. I just kind of got a feeling maybe I'm just being PD public here. Who knows? Miami at San Diego. What a depressing way to end the Chargers' time in San Diego.
I was going to say, you know, I was actually at the game on Monday, the Giants-Dolphins game.
Yeah.
There were more Giants fans in attendance than Dolphins fans.
So it was the over-under.
So basically, there's going to be no one in the stadium.
46 is the over-under, which is also the over-under on number of people at that stadium. That's too many points for this game.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I hate the Dolphins.
Why wouldn't you?
It's not that I hate, like, I have no problem with, like, I grew up a Giants fan. The Dolphins, like, as far as fandom goes, irrelevant to me.
Yeah.
Like, Jets fans don't like the Dolphins, whatever. I hate this Dolphins team because they're so dumb that it, like, in fantasy and in gambling and just in general, watching stupid football really aggravates me. That team is so dumb.
How do you not keep giving Lamar Miller the bleeping ball?
Because they're dumb.
Now, how do you not guard Odell Beckham?
Now, like, and here's the difference between the Dolphins and Chargers. Both teams are bad. The Chargers are bad because everyone's hurt and they don't have talent. The Dolphins are bad because they're dumb. But I think the Dolphins have more talent. I can't see San Diego winning this game, so I'll take Miami.
The Philip Rivers last game at home in San Diego thing and the emotion involved there really terrifies me. But I remember
there's no emotion.
But remember 2 weeks ago, I said I couldn't figure the Chargers out?
Yeah.
I got them.
Yeah.
It is. You just bet against him at home.
They stink.
That's one of my best bets.
They stink.
They stink at home.
They stink.
It's so depressing. They know it's their final game, and it's going to be Dolphins
and
fans. It's going to be Dolphins fans.
Dolphins
there.
Fans don't even show up to their own stadium. They'll be at Qualcomm.
There's got to be some Dolphins fans in California, right?
Probably.
You're never going to see them. You show up, just, you know, you're going to get easy tickets. So I think that we are going to see the Dolphins win this
game.
I
agree.
Cincinnati at San Francisco. San Francisco only getting 4.5, but that's because A.J. McCarron starting in place of an injured Andy Dalton. Trent Green, if you didn't listen to the podcast yet earlier, had some interesting information about Andy Dalton's hand injury. Dr. Trent Green, apparently. He says he thinks Andy Dalton could be back for the regular season. We'll see. He hadn't spoken to anybody. He's just talking about handbrakes and stuff. I think I like the 49ers here. Maybe not to win, but certainly to cover.
Okay, so if the spread were flipped, Cincinnati would be 10.5-point home favorites.
And I would uncork on San Francisco.
I would take the Niners.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Niners in this spot.
Yeah. Blaine Gabbert's been playing better.
Listen, maybe A.J. McCarron goes out there and slings the ball all over the place and looks great. I don't know that that can happen. So until it happens, I don't believe it. So I'll take the Niners. That's one of my best bets of the week.
The 49ers, by the way, last week against the Browns, they came out and said afterwards, like, we kind of overlooked the Browns.
This is one of the most insane comments I've ever heard.
Joe Staley said it too.
Like you're horrible and you overlooked the team.
It's mid-December. You have
your coach is Jim
wins.
Tomsula. Your quarterback is Blaine Gabbert, and you overlooked the team.
But congratulations, you suck. I think it works in reverse this week because now they're like, all right, we got a little pride. We need to step back up after that embarrassment.
Agreed.
And A.J. McCarron compared himself to Tom Brady. Why did you do that?
I kind of liked it.
He's done this before.
With Brady?
Yes, he did it at the Combine. He goes up there. And in fact, he said it before the Combine and caught a ton of flack for it. And the Combine said, well, I know that people are going to flip out, but I'm just saying that Alabama's kind of the college version of New England. And I mean, I guess I kind of like to win games and I don't put up big stats. I'm kind of like Tom Brady.
I kind of like that.
It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little delusional, but all the great ones have delusions of grandeur.
I guess he's got a chest tat.
The chest tat, and it's not just a chest tat; it's a horrendous chest tat.
It really is.
It's horrible. But he's also married to Catherine Webb, and that's pretty good.
Sean Wagner, Magoo. I think it's Magoo. Sean. I'm sorry, Sean Swimmy, who writes on the NFL.
Okay.
He's a hyphenated name, but he's an awesome dude. Good, really great young writer. Okay. But he had an awesome line about. I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce his last name, huh? I just don't pronounce things very well.
Okay.
But he had an awesome line.
You pronounced exorbitantly incorrectly a few moments ago. I did not correct you, but it was incorrect.
I pronounce exorbitantly?
It's exorbitantly. There's a D in it.
Oh, that's just me doing a Southern drawl.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's exorbitantly.
Branson.
Yeah. It's just exorbitantly.
Will Branson.
Branson, Zeke. But he had a great line. It was like, own it. It's like, you know, look. My wife's just as good looking as Giselle.
No,
I got better chest tats.
If AJ McCarron,
I got rings from Alabama.
If he went full out like that, I would buy an AJ McCarron jersey.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, give me the Niners.
I'm with you. Arizona at Philly. Philly is getting 3.5, and I think they're gonna win the damn game.
My best bet of the week, Eagles.
I like them too. It's they're playing well. I don't really know how they slow down Arizona's offense, except maybe with Fletcher
Cox. Arizona's offense has been slowed down the last couple weeks.
True. Their offensive line's not great right now. Fletcher Cox is a monster.
It was really nice, by the way, of Nelson Agholor to decide that he was going to play this season.
I know, right?
With his touchdown last week. Bradford's playing
Brad, thanks for showing up, pal.
Yeah.
When they have Bradford and the Cardinals don't have a great pass rush.
Mm-hmm.
And when they have Bradford playing, they're a different team.
Indeed.
He's just much better.
Than Mark Sanchez.
Much better.
I mean, we're just not 11, but yeah. I like the Eagles.
He's exorbitantly. You can't tell that I'm squeezing in the bedently, right?
No.
I'm saying it in my head.
Exorbitantly.
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 No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I am actually saying what you're saying, but it's coming through a different...
Yeah, your filter.
Yeah.
Because you're from the South.
It just sounds
which
different.
Is cool.
Yeah. We're exorbitantly.
I mean, I'm from New York, so I'm better than you, but that's okay.
Right, of course. Yeah. But yes. We're both in Florida, so who the hell knows what's happening? All right, so we both love the Eagles this week. Yeah. I think they win this game, and
agreed.
they're going to win this division. They're the best team in this division.
I think it'll still come down to week 17, and I could see the Giants getting in.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Look, if you pretend to know what's going to happen in the NFC East or the AFC South, I mean, you can pretend to know what happened, but you're pretending. Like,
you don't know.
You don't know what's going to happen. Mr. Monday Night took a rare fall.
Indeed.
The Dolphins. I shouldn't have told you Azer was locked into the Giants. I think you liked him anyway.
Who was locked in?
Azer.
He loved the Giants.
Yeah.
That's a great reason to go the other way.
That's what you said on this podcast last week.
Yes. Yeah, so
I know you say lots of things. I say lots of things. I don't expect you to remember everything you said in the podcast. I just distinctly remember that. Detroit at New Orleans. New Orleans minus. Oh, you don't have to make your pick.
Oh, well, what I will say is you can go to sportsline.com on Monday to get my pick. Mr. Monday Night, 11-3-1 now on the season after, as you termed it, a rare tumble this past Monday.
The last tumble you took, you reeled off another couple of straight wins.
You know, it's so funny. I grew up a big Giants fan. And when Beckham's streaking down the field with that touchdown, I'm not happy.
Because you know you're losing.
Dolphins.
It's over.
Worlds are colliding, Jerry.
Yeah.
Worlds colliding.
Worlds colliding.
Worlds colliding. That may have
That's
been,
the end of the podcast.
That may have been the death knell for my fandom, my sports
of
the,
fandom. Oh, of losing that game? Really?
Because I was more pissed that my bet lost than I was that my favorite team won.
That's actually the title of the Sports Line podcast this week. It was only 23 minutes, so I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yes.
I needed 50 full minutes to soak out...
Whatever her name is.
Yeah.
Hopefully she's listening.
Cindy.
Yeah. I hate you, Cindy.
Cindy, you gotta get out of here.
I despise you.
Cindy, go get some help. Drink some coffee. It's 9 a.m., Cindy. Get some help. All right. Nick Costas, excellent podcast as always. Follow
yes,
Nick
sir.
At The Costas. Follow me at Will Brinson. Subscribe via iTunes. We will be back next week to preview it. Enjoy the games. It's Saturday football.